Greetings and salutations. This is the Untitled Joshcast, episode number 12. My name is Josh Gershman. I am joined, as always, by my co-host and co-Josh, Josh Hammett.
Just barely joined by your co-host. Just barely functional in here.
This is our weekly podcast where we discuss what has been going on in our lives, and we try to have a little bit of fun while doing it. To interact with the show and for updates on future episodes and other fun stuff, you can find us on both Twitter and Instagram at JoshCastPod. If you would like to support the show, you can do so at patreon.com/untitledjoshcast to support our little show at whatever level you are comfortable with. Before we get into today's episode, which is going to be about sports, I probably would have written something about sports in like the title of the episode. That would have given you a hint. We are going to get there, I swear. But before we do that, we got some other business to take care of. Not the least of which we would be doing, I think, everybody a great disservice if we did not discuss in some capacity the state of our country in the past 7 days. So we're recording this on Monday, June 1st. It was a week ago today, that George Floyd was killed in Minneapolis. That has led to a week of protests. The weekend saw lots of rioting and looting across the country. It's been a little crazy times.
It's been pretty real. We saw a lot of the protests and the riots here in Knoxville. They literally were at the corner of our apartment complex last night. We watched it go by. We watched the police do a lot of, you know, arresting, stopping, rearranging. And it was literally right outside the window.
We had planned to first record on Saturday and then on Sunday. And now here we are again on Monday. I had ventured to take some notes. I wanted to try and paint a clearest picture as possible of what had happened a week ago. Because I think some of that might have been lost in the last 7 days. So George Floyd was at a store in Minneapolis, and the clerk at the store called the police because he tried to buy a pack of cigarettes with an allegedly fake $20 bill. Someone else that saw the bill also said that it was likely fake. So they called the police. The police show up. And the police claim that he was resisting arrest. That's what led to him being pinned on the ground and led on ultimately to his death. There is no shortage of video footage from like that corner in Minneapolis, as I'm sure you can imagine. There's pretty clear video evidence that he was not resisting arrest. There's other camera angles that clearly show really anything but. So The officer at the center of this has been arrested and charged, and we'll wait to see what happens. But none of his buddies that were there did anything to stop him. And certainly that led to the first wave of kind of protests in Minneapolis. And then that kind of just spread throughout. And then it was over the course of the weekend, and certainly into the weekend when things really intensified. As of yesterday, there were like a curfews in a dozen or more cities, and curfews still today on Monday in Los Angeles. Like the curfew is 4 p.m. that you can't be out afterwards, which is kind of insane for a city like that where everything is outside. Last night I was feeling a lot of thoughts, and I went down the Twitter rabbit hole of so much footage being shared, not just from Minneapolis, but from around the country. I'm sure that you and everyone else has seen the footage of New York, of those two police SUVs in New York that ran over some folk. We didn't run over people, but like they nudged forward enough to clearly knock some people backwards. There was another incident like that in California. the more and more I went down the rabbit hole, the more and more I wanted to just turn on a microphone. But I had to step away from that and not be an angry white guy, another angry white guy. That's I literally wrote in my notes. That's not when I was writing this on Saturday. That's not where I wanted this to go. And what I'm not going to do is any of that and pretend that us two knuckleheads know anything about anything and can offer any kind of solutions or useless platitudes or anything else that the two of us sitting thousands of miles away from the start of this. You had mentioned the kind of protests very close to you in Knoxville. I was fortunate there wasn't anything near me where I live, but I have friends in other cities that think they were very close to kind of the happenings in their city, including in Philadelphia. What I will say is that I would urge you, if you have any feelings about this, to put your money where your mouth is, as I have done, and to support organizations and causes that are on the front lines of this every day, dealing with racial prejudice and injustice, that can have a far better and far more lasting impact than the two of us recording this podcast.
I mean, I guess for me, it's been hard to watch for a number of reasons. For one, I find that I'm a very loving human that just wants everything in the world to get, you know, to a place of like calm. But it's been hard for me to watch. It's happened in many places that I've lived before. Like, it's been hard to watch Kansas City erupt into where they are. There were literally, you know, snipers on the tops of the buildings of the plaza, which is a pretty common place that I've hung out with. I just came from Philly watching it go down in New York, like here in Knoxville. So I've seen it, you know, grow through many, many people that I've encountered in my life, and watching all of them interact with what's going down. It's something that I've been proud to watch with them, because it's great to know that I have so many acquaintances and friends that are taking a stand. But it's also been hard because, like, you're constantly in a state of fear that something's going to happen to them. But I think that that ties into exactly why they're out there and why we're protesting and why everyone is pushing back, is because that fear that something's going to happen to them is something that people are living with literally every day. And that's something that we'll never know on a level that other people are having to deal with. And I think that there is a great deal of importance in what is happening, but it's not in a being there kind of way. It's not in a raising your voice kind of way as much as I think that right now it's really important for, you know, white people like you and I to shut the fuck up and listen, to learn from the experiences, to learn from the moment, like be there, be supportive, you know, put your body in the front if you need to protect people. But this isn't our fight. This isn't our voice. We don't get to have an opinion. Like, it's important that we learn to be there in solidarity without putting our voice on top of the stories that are being told. Like, we've had 400 years to talk. It's time that we shut up and just let someone else tell the story.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I'm going to leave this with 6 words for you. They're not my words. They're from one of my favorite authors, Chuck Wendig. He had posted this on Twitter this morning, among other things, but these are the 6 most relevant words. Give love, demand respect, fuck fascism. Okay, now we want to try and get back to some kind of regularly scheduled programming. This podcast is certainly what brings Josh and I a lot of joy and a lot of happiness every week, even if we're about to talk about sports, which are inherently frustrating because we love them so much. And so if you listened to the first few minutes of this podcast of us talking about what's happening, thank you for sticking with us. We're now going to talk about sports, which we love so passionately, and just kind of been about what's been happening with them over the past 3 months. So if you remember all the way back to episode number 2 of our podcast, it was about sports, in that at the time, this was, I think we recorded that episode in late March, possibly very, very early April, that so many seasons had been put on hold, suspended. In the case of baseball, they weren't able to get started. And now it's 3 months later, again, sitting here on June 1st. And there's been some movement, some attempt to return to normalcy. The NFL had their draft. It was all virtual. That happened, I think, at the end of April. But again, that is traditionally an in-person event, but it's not a, you know, it's not a game. It's a thing where everybody sits in a like a giant arena or amphitheater or whatever. But we are finally seeing some semblance of a return to action, or at least a plan. For me personally, I can't wait for the Premier League to come back in England, which is going to happen actually in a couple of weeks. Professional soccer did start in Germany, I think last week, the week before, to empty stadiums. I don't know actually if you've seen any footage of this. They put cardboard cutouts of people in the stands. So it looks like if you play an old sports video game and then they pan to the stands, it's just like cardboard cutouts of people. That's essentially what they did in Germany, which is kind of cute. So when soccer does get started again in England, it's currently scheduled for the week of June 17th. I'm pretty sure there's not going to be any people there. There's not going to be any fans, but at least the players and coaches and staff. Over the weekend, it was announced that more than 1,100 players, coaches, and staff in the Premier League were tested for COVID-19, and they all came back negative, which is a great sign. My hat is off to those 1,100 people that self-quarantined and social distanced and kept themselves and their families and their loved ones safe. I can't wait. I mean, it's been more than 100 days since Liverpool last played. They are two wins away from clinching their first title in 30 years. This past weekend was Steven Gerrard, legendary Liverpool captain, was his 40th birthday. Today, June 1st, is a year to the day that they won the Champions League in dramatic fashion. Tears coming down my face. It has been quite a ride. It's everybody in sports loves to hate on other teams. That's also kind of what we do in sports. That is amplified in England, I think, because the country of England is essentially the size of Michigan. So imagine 20 pro level teams in an area the size of Michigan that all hate each other. I'm paraphrasing, but you get the idea. So like everything is really intensified. So there's lots of Liverpool hate, just because that's what happens. I can't wait. I am just ecstatic. Oh God, I'm having trouble talking about it because I just want it. I want it. Look into my eyes. I want it to happen.
It's just the most excited I've seen you in literally weeks.
So here, what I hope sincerely is that the effects of this season, not just in professional soccer, but really in all sports, that they don't have a lasting impact for the next season or two. Like everything is already going to be so compressed. Like, again, the Premier League season would have been over by now. It wraps up usually right before Memorial Day. And now it's going to go until the middle of July, the end of July, early August. The season usually starts in August. So there's not going to be, I mean, depending if they plan to start again on time, a traditional offseason, a traditional rest and recovery period. So I sincerely hope that the rest of the season goes out nicely. Liverpool win their title. Everybody takes it easy. Not saying they throw in any games. I'm saying like nobody gets hurt.
Yeah.
And then we can do this all over again.
Definitely hard. Like you do see like when you get into extra time that like players wear down. I definitely noticed in the final year that all of the Royals players were together when they had literally done back-to-back World Series runs. Like you could tell that the players were worn down and injured and tired. And it's because for two straight seasons, they had lost extra time to, you know, to heal their legs and to heal their body. They'd played late into October every year, and it cut a full month off of their recuperation. So they, like, it will be interesting to see how things like that affect the following seasons. I know you're very excited about soccer, and I'm excited to watch soccer with you so that I can participate in this, but the universe not only gave you soccer back.
Can't wait.
It gave you hockey back.
Oh my God. The NHL. Okay. So, it's so convoluted. here's what the hockey did. So there are 31 teams in the NHL. 16 of them make the playoffs every year. It's 8 from one conference and 8 from another. That's what normally happens. Well, instead of doing something like what the Premier League is doing, where they have full intentions of playing out the rest of the season, the NHL and the NBA, for that matter, have decided to just end the season. So the regular season is over. It ended in March whenever they stopped playing games. And the playoffs are going to start whenever they resume play. But it's not going to be the top 16 teams because, again, the last couple of weeks of the season in any sport, I don't have to tell you this, is really a crunch time where people, the teams that are out of the playoffs are doing their best. They're trying their hardest to get into the playoffs. So when the NHL comes back to play, it's going to be 24 total teams in this like giant playoff tournament of champions. It sounds insane, but it gets better. It gets better. They're not going to play in their home arenas. They're going to split up the entire league in half. And every game is going to be played in one of two hub cities. So the entire Eastern Conference is going to play in one city and the entire Western Conference is going to play in another city. And like all the teams will be quarantined in hotels, ideally separate hotels in the cities. The stadiums will be empty. They'll have to do all kinds of cleaning and disinfecting. It's going to be insane. I hope upon hope that it works. It's nuts, but I hope it works. I have my doubts, but we'll see what happens.
It's crazy. I think it's good that they set it up this way, though. I do. I was going to go off on the NBA thing. Like, I would have felt bad. I would have felt so bad for like the Portland Trailblazers, who had worked their way back to three games out of the playoff contention if the season had ended and they had just cut it off, because like they had made their way back to three games out with injured players, and now those players have had time to heal, and they would have been able to make a run if they had been able to sustain it. Like, I do think that Portland probably would have made the playoffs. So to immediately like kill their season, that would have been doing a disservice to them. It would have sucked. So I like that they've extended the amount of people that are going to come into the playoffs.
What they're doing in the NBA is 22 teams rather than 24. And so you get the 8 from each side. And then I think having 22 teams, the top teams do get an advantage. They get, I can't remember if they get like a bye, like in the NFL playoffs, you get like a first round bye or whatever. I think something like that is happening in the NBA, to kind of reward those teams for their successes. You know, ordinarily going into the playoffs, the number one seeds are at an advantage. That's what they worked for. And so it's an attempt to do that, but less so on the NHL side. And I saw some people in the hockey world specifically calling that out, that having 24 teams rather than 22, it decreases that advantage that they normally would have. We'll see what happens. There's still no timetable on this. What the NHL has stated, at least, is as soon as they let people come back, not people, players come back, there's going to be a 3-week training camp for everybody to like get in game shape. No one's been playing hockey for 3 months. And then after those 3 weeks, then they'll actually start this crazy tournament of champions. So God only knows when it's going to happen. But probably not till August, like late July, early August, that this crazy tournament actually happens. And with the NBA, I think there's even less timing involved. Oh, and those two hub cities I mentioned for the NHL, they still haven't been decided. So they still have to figure that out, and all the logistics of moving 24 teams to two cities.
That's crazy. We should turn this into good reality TV. It should be like Survivor. The number one seed, they get quarantined hotels. Like 2 through 4, yep. they get testing, and everybody else is on their own. They have to ride the subway to the games.
Oh, man. This got dark. This got Hunger Games real quick. All right. I am very eager to hear about baseball, not the least of which is because you are literally wearing a Kansas City Royals jersey right now. And I know how you feel in your heart of hearts. I tried, you know, we split this up. Like, we naturally have different sports interests. And I tried to peer into the world of baseball, and I have no idea what's happening.
There's so much happening.
I'm hoping you can, like, you're shaking your head. I'm hoping you can enlighten me a little bit.
So like you mentioned earlier, literally we started the process of recording this on Saturday. So I took notes on Saturday. We then tried to move to Sunday. It's now Monday. My notes are fucked. Like everything that I have ever thought I knew about baseball is gone. I don't know what they're doing. Essentially, the theory behind where we were on Saturday was it was going to be an 80-game season. For there to be an 80-game season, they needed to start the season basically by the first week of July in order to hit the stride so that the playoffs were about where they normally were. There's talk of a 60-game season in that time. Players and assholes who like baseball don't want a 60-game season because baseball is a game of math. And if you have 20 less games, things are going to be skewed. Like the batting averages are going to be higher. You're going to screw up all of the records because seven people are going to bat 400. And we don't like people to break records. Like literally, if anybody ever comes for Cal Ripken Jr.'s Ironman record, somebody will buckle his kneecap before he can get there. Like there are things that should not be messed with because honestly, we are the type of people who take our sport a little too seriously. Anyways, in order for a first week of July season to start, spring training would need to start June 10th. Who knows if that's going to happen? Probably not. As of today, it looks like the players are in one position, the owners are in one position. All of this is about money, but let's not get there yet. Players proposed a 114-game season today because they're totally okay playing deeper into the season and not worrying about where things would normally be. The owners, not so much. They're worried about a fall resurgence of coronavirus. So they're offering a 50 to 60 game season. So no one's on the same page. The problem that everyone is having is because there likely won't be fans in the stadium and there likely won't be ticket sales, baseball is going to lose a shit ton of money, just like all sports. But baseball makes a lot more money off concession stand and things like that than most sports do. The owners have proposed cuts to the player's salary because A, they're not playing a full season, and B, they're going to lose their ass because there's going to be nobody in the stadium. Like if you play a season of baseball, which is 160-ish games, it's 162 games.
162.
Yeah, it's 162 games. If you play that, not including the playoffs, but if you think about how many concession stand games are being lost there. We're like the NFL, like they have what, 12 fucking games? Like, okay, you buy beer 12 times. Baseball, you sell beer 162 times. Like that's where the money is made. So if you're not bringing in that income and you don't have the television sale right now, like how are you paying Mike Trout's $6 bajillion contract? So the result of that is the owners and the MLB have proposed a percentage of the salary. If you play 82 games, we'll pay you 82 games worth of your salary based on the percentage that it would be. And the players are like, well, no, we're willing to take the percentage, but like we'd like to play more games. Like we don't want to play 82 games. We'll play 114 games. The owners are like, well, we don't know. We don't want you to get sick. How about we pay you more? And it's like a sliding scale. Then the players are like, well, okay, your sliding scale is bullshit because this lower tier player is making more money percentage wise than Mike Trout is. Why is he being rewarded for being shitty? I'm Mike Trout. Okay, I feel like I should put forth a disclaimer. Mike Trout hasn't said any of these things. Mike Trout has a kind heart. Don't come at me, Mike Trout. I know that you're not part of this.
Also, he and his wife are eagerly awaiting the birth of their first child. And he just seems like quite a mensch. But I think alternate Mike Trout, I think you're right there.
Yes, he's always been super kind. Every time I've interacted with Mike Trout, he's been nothing but a giant, kind, teddy bear type baseball player. Anyways, the point is the players are mad because like Larry Johnson shouldn't be paid a higher percentage per game based on what his salary originally was compared to Mike Trout, who is Mike Trout. And so there's been this back and forth of the whole thing that just isn't taking off. Minor league baseball has been completely canceled. That doesn't exist now. Now teams are fighting about whether or not they're going to cut players, whether or not they're going to pay all of the players that were supposed to play, whether staff is going to be paid. So no one's on the same goddamn page. I don't know. Is there going to be a season? Probably. I have no idea. Based on the history of baseball, which is usually good to look at, yes, there's going to be a season. Since 1871, they've literally canceled one season. So odds are pretty good that they're going to figure it out. There's been some weird, quirky seasons where, like, 1918, the World Series was played early. They, like, shortened the season because of World War One. In 1904, the New York Giants refused to play the Boston Pilgrims in the World Series. I don't know what that's about, but it sounds like something New Yorkers would do. And in 1994, you know, the strike shortened the season, which I don't ever want to talk about again, because that's the season the Royals probably would have made the World Series, made the playoffs and broke the streak of sucking. And then they went on strike and then we sucked for another 25 years. So that was cool. I do think that there's going to be a season at some point. I have no idea what it's going to look like. I do think that Vegas agrees with me. Right now, the betting odds say that it leans towards yes, there being a season, instead of no, the season's completely canceled. There's been all sorts of weird talk about the National League getting the designated hitter, that the teams that are going to play each other aren't in the normal conferences. Like, somehow St. Louis and Kansas City are going to end up in the same division. We're going to play Milwaukee like seven times this year. I don't know. Maybe they've thrown that out now. Basically, like, every other league has been like, let's just play sports, and baseball has been like, let's fuck everything up. Let's do this in no way like we've ever done this before. Let's bring in chickens. We're going to bring back the Ephus pitch. You can't spit on the ball anymore, and you're not allowed to wear cups. Those are the rules. Go. I don't know.
This is sounding more and more like, I just have to bring it back. It sounds more and more like the Hunger Games version of Major League Baseball.
Just play baseball.
Of just going to throw everybody in the same room and see what happens.
Like, pay the people what they're supposed to be paid. Play the game. Put it on TV. Korea's doing it. It's working just fine. I don't know. There's a reason why we're now the third most popular sport.
I don't know either. And again, like, I tried to pay attention to it, to who was saying what and on what side. And it seems like it's this money issue that's going to be, it's like, that's the biggest, most divisive thing between the players and the owners about when this happens. And, you know, this is not, you and I are old enough to remember the last strike.
It was,
this is not going to end well.
It was not pretty.
And like that, it was not good the first time around. And it's only going to be worse this time around.
The thing,
because there's so much more money involved.
Go ahead. Finish that.
Oh, that was it.
The thing about it is the strike in 94, it sucked. It was horrible. But we were the most popular sport at the time, and you had the Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa home run off. You had the steroids era right afterwards. So baseball was exciting. Like, it was, when it came back, you couldn't not watch baseball. Like, they were hitting balls 900 yards and they were Sammy Sosa was hitting them in Chicago and they were landing in the middle of Indianapolis. Like, it was insane. But like, you can't do this over money when you're the third most popular sport and kids don't even play baseball anymore. Like, A, you have to do this correctly. Like, you need to expand this game globally because you're about to lose America. And B, lighten up and play the game. Just make it fun. Like, go nuts. Let Bryce Harper flip his bat however the hell he wants. Like, stop acting like it's 1871 and it's a gentleman's game. Like, nobody wants that anymore. Play the game. I know that I've said the exact opposite my entire life. I'm ready for baseball to be fun. I'm ready for it to be a global game. Like, we should just play the freaking, oh my God, what's it called? What's it called?
When the World Baseball Classic?
Yeah. Honestly, they should just embrace the World Baseball Classic. That's what it should be. Like, I love the way Japan plays baseball. I love the way Korea plays baseball. I love watching foreign baseball because they actually respect and enjoy the game. And I love baseball. I do. I loved watching the Royals come up together. I love the camaraderie of that. But, like, baseball has a stick up its butt and it needs to calm the hell down.
Next year is when the next World Baseball Classic was supposed to happen, or I guess it's technically still scheduled for next March. And it has never been more important. The World Baseball Classic, when it started, it was kind of a joke. Like, it was like, hey, we want to have a world tournament that other sports have done. And the first one was in 2006. And I remember it being like just kind of silly at the time. 15 years later, this is never going to be more important for baseball in America than the next one next year, because of all these reasons. There's so much, the amount of money in baseball is just so astronomically high. And again, that's why we're seeing such big divisions between the players and the owners, about who's getting paid what. And all the other sports have caught up and eclipsed them, all of the other sports, but like the NFL and NBA specifically, they are number one and number two, with baseball behind them, have eclipsed baseball in in the national consciousness. You know, the personalities, the athletes in those sports are on TV and in commercials much more often. They're just in popular culture. LeBron is literally everywhere. MLB can't compete with that. And that's, you know, that's going to be an issue if they can get through this season without making things worse for themselves with these contract negotiations, getting back on the field and pull off a successful World Baseball Classic next spring. Then we'll see what's happening. Again, I love hockey. I don't think hockey's close to number three. It's probably still number four. It's maybe even number five. NASCAR's in there somewhere, I'm sure.
Baseball's four. I think it's NFL, followed by the NBA, followed by NCAA football, followed by MLB.
Oh man, yeah, you're right. That makes sense. I mean, just in terms of, again, like what's on television and what people are crazy excited about, I think you're spot on there. And again, like I was saying, I love hockey. Hockey has done a great job coming back from its own stoppages that happened in 2003, 2004. It was about 10 years or so after the baseball strike, but that had dire consequences for the NHL. They ended up losing all of their, they lost their ESPN TV deals, which is huge for a sport. And now most teams are on some kind of regional network, or some are on their own. So that's, it's certainly come back, and it's been, you know, the past 15, we'll call it the last 15 years, the NHL has done an incredible job of making themselves relevant again. But like, if there's another work stoppage, all that goes away. In any sport, all of that goes away. All the goodwill, like that, there is so much difference between athletes and the people who pay to see them. And all of that goodwill, all of that goes away immediately as soon as there's a work stoppage. Because then it's rich people complaining that they don't have enough money, and other rich people not wanting to pay those other rich people money. And the fans who pay their hard-earned money to see them on TV and in the stadiums, and that buy all those concessions and that pay outrageous prices for parking, they're not going to go. They're going to be like, no, fuck you guys, I'm out.
It's definitely complicated. It's definitely like a crossroads moment for the sport. You know, I was going to list three things that baseball needed, but to just reinforce your NHL point, the baseball clearly needs four things. One, they need gritty. Gritty is the greatest thing in the world and single-handedly saved the NHL for me. Two, they need this, like you said, no work stoppage. They need to make this thing look, you know, normal for the working class people. It's always been a blue collar game, so act like it's a blue collar game. Three, the World Baseball Classic is literally in our country. The championship game is in Miami, I think. Either one round is in Miami. I have to cough. Hang on. Or Arizona. There's a round in Arizona and there's a round in Miami. I don't remember which one the championship is. But either way, that's two representations of your team on your soil. And the thing is, the World Baseball Classic was going to be giant this year. Like, people in Major League Baseball had started already recruiting people. Like, Eric Hosmer was going to play. Like, the biggest names were going to play. I know that Eric Hosmer is not the biggest name. What I'm saying is, like, there was Twitter recruitment, like, back and forth between the players. They were like, I'm in. It was going to be a killer lineup this year. But three, and I hate saying things like this, but Bryce Harper made an excellent point. When the Olympics were scheduled to be in Japan, how are you not sending A, MLB players to play in the Japanese Olympics? And B, how is baseball not even an Olympic sport right now? Like, that's insane. Like, I understand it wasn't popular. I understand we didn't send players back in the day, so they stopped. But, like, it's in Japan. How do you not have baseball be an Olympic sport in Japan? Like, it's crazy.
It is crazy. And that's actually the Olympic issue. The NHL is dealing with that, too, because this was 2018. Where were the 2018 Olympics?
That's a fantastic question.
The Winter Olympics, the NHL, they didn't allow NHL players to play in the Olympics. Whereas for the previous, I don't know however long, that national teams were full of NHL players. And it did two very important things. One, it raised the caliber of that tournament so that you had the best players in the world playing in the Olympics for their home countries. And the other thing that it did is that it raised the profile of the NHL all over the world, which is what the league, again, coming back from work stoppage, really drastically needed. And that's something that was like a big blow to the hockey tournament in the last Olympics, that there weren't going to be NHL players there. Now, I still think that the caliber of hockey was fine. It was like college players and other players that were kind of semi-pro, I think, but it was different. You know, the Olympics are special. There are only a couple times in the hockey calendar that players that play in the NHL, which is the highest caliber league in the world, get to play for their home countries against one another. There's a couple of like world championship style tournaments, which generally are filled out by younger players. Occasionally you have an older guy who is on one of those teams, but it's a rarity. And so the Olympics is that one thing every 4 years where these athletes get to represent their home country. My favorite Olympic story is in 2006, whichever Olympics were in Salt Lake City. And again, forgive me, Olympic historians, because I don't remember. The finals, the gold medal game came down to Canada and the US. Canada won because Canada's a hockey powerhouse. And Sidney Crosby, who at that time was like very early on in his career, he's one of the best players in the game, plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins. He was a key part of the Canadian team winning the gold medal and was just booed like vociferously. I'm pretty sure that's a word in the US, which is like ironic because he's one of like the biggest names in the game of hockey in the US. But because it was the Olympics and because it was like this rivalry, the US and Canada have a huge sports rivalry, not just hockey, but in all sports in which they compete against one another. And this was a huge deal. And it was a huge deal, obviously, for all the members of Team Canada that won the gold. But, you know, for all those US players that either play with him or with or against a lot of those guys, it was all those you know, those friendships went out the window and it became this very like nationalistic, tribalistic rivalry, which is what the Olympics, in a good way, that's what the Olympics brings out. And it was a shame that we didn't get to see those same NHL players in the last Olympics. I hope that that changes because, again, like World Baseball Classic, again, we're talking about it's going to be in March, which is going to be right before the season starts. So it'll kind of interrupt spring training kind of. In the NHL or the Winter Olympics, as you can imagine, happen during the winter, which is always right in the middle of the NHL season. And so in years past, it's been like a 2 or 3 week break in the NHL season. You're like, okay, we're not watching our teams anymore. Now we're going to watch the Olympics and then they'll come back. Whereas that didn't happen this past time around, you know, it was because they weren't playing. I hope that they go back to that where they do let Olympic players play. Or if the NHL players play in the Olympics. It's just so much fun. I just love seeing that. I love the Olympics. I love seeing these kinds of things. I could talk about it all day.
I mean, it's stuff like that that's important. Like,
so great.
Can you imagine like watching, my times are going to be all screwed up, but like, could you imagine watching Randy Johnson pitch against Ichiro, America versus Japan? Like, I know that they
probably would love that.
It'd be fucking insane. Like, it's just, it's such a shame. Like, I want to see what, you know, Vlad Guerrero Jr. can go out and do as a young pup in, I don't honestly know what country he would represent. He lived in Canada. He's got ties elsewhere. But, like, it's things like that that would be super interesting to me that, like, those matchups where you're fighting for your country, like, I think it's cool. I would love to watch that. I would be glued to it. We've seen what America does when like Team USA soccer starts playing. Like, can you imagine like these countries with soccer being like, well, I don't know, let's not send the pros. Let's send the kid from USC. Like, it's not the same. It's dumb. That was a horrible rant, but it's me saying, all right, please just play baseball in the Olympics.
Okay. I am going to do some live fact checking.
I have no idea where Vlad Guerrero was from.
While the 2002 Winter Olympics were in Salt Lake City, I'm pretty sure that was before Sidney Crosby was in the league. It's possible I was thinking of the 2010 Winter Olympics, which were in Vancouver. So again, I think that was the final. But Crosby still got booed in the U.S. because of that. Also, people love to hate on him. I don't. I think he's fine. But that still happened. The 2018 Winter Olympics, which I couldn't remember where they were in South Korea. Yeah. So just some fact checking there, because I know we would have listeners that would write in. Mostly when I get things wrong, which is not a rare occurrence on this podcast.
It's a lot rarer.
I don't know where Vlad Guerrero Jr. is from.
No idea. Let's not fact check.
We'll never know.
Let's see if he will personally tell us.
It's fine.
Vlad, if you want us to know where you're from, please let us know.
That would be pretty cool. All right, we're going to work on that. In the meantime, while we try to get Vlad Guerrero Jr. on the show, we are going to try and do our best to get back to more regular episodes in the coming weeks. You can find us all over the place, again, on Twitch, on our weekly Twitch streams. This episode is going to go up in 2 days on Wednesday. We'll be taking tomorrow off, and kind of everything will be silent tomorrow, Tuesday, yesterday, the day that you're listening to this. This episode will be live on Wednesday. If you are listening to this on Wednesday, you can find us on twitch.tv/UntitledJoshCast tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern. As long as the internet gods and the Twitch gods are favorable to our endeavors. And I do a little dance, and I like sprinkle some salt around, in deference to the Twitch and internet gods. I don't know if it works, and I have strong suspicions that it doesn't, but I like the rituals, you know?
Vlad Guerrero, if you want to join us on Twitch Wednesday night, you're happy to do that too. We're open to it. Just let us know. Have your people contact our people.
Please do. We will be standing by. Our Twitter DMs are open. Hit us up. In the meantime, if you have enjoyed this show, we would love it if you would leave us a nice rating or review on Apple Podcasts and or follow on Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, or wherever you happen to listen. We get metrics on where people listen, and there are sites that I did not list that I just read off. So people are finding the podcast elsewhere, which I think is amazing, but I don't know how. So if you are one of those people, you know, give us a like, a follow, a subscribe, whatever it is that you do there, that would be great.
I've been taping the printed website out and taping it to little carrier pigeons and sending it out into the universe. So apparently that's paying off.
Well, actually, that's a great point because you can listen on untitledjoshcast.com as well. The website itself has its own embedded media player and you can listen right there. If you are listening in any of those places and there is any kind of feedback mechanism, a like, a thumbs up, whatever it is that they have to let you let them know, to let us know that you like this thing that these two knuckleheads are doing, it'd be great. That would be fantastic. Again, to stay in touch with the show and for updates on other fun stuff, you can find us on both Twitter and Instagram at JoshCastPod. If you would like to support the show financially, you can do so at patreon.com/untitledjoshcast. This show, at long last, is written and hosted by me, Josh Gershman, and Josh Hammond. It is edited by me, and it is produced by Rylan James. The podcast's intro music is Gemini by Alki, and the podcast's outro music is Cautious by Amorosa. Both appear on the Untitled Joshcast with permission from the artists. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of the Untitled Joshcast. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time. I got to be cautious.